Good morning. Welcome everyone to the Lord's house this morning. It's good to see you all and be able to worship with you in person once again. As always, we thank you for your attention to the new normal requirements for in-person worship, including face coverings and physical distance. Please remember that we do appreciate a phone call or email each week, preferably by Thursday, to indicate which service you plan to attend so that we can maintain a building capacity within our city and county guidelines. And thank you also for letting our ushers dismiss us row by row at the end of each service. This will be especially important as our attendance continues to rise, it seems like, each week. Also, please remember that we do post the audio recording of our full service on our website each Sunday afternoon. We know that there's a number of people and families who are unable to attend service in person due to being at a higher risk for the COVID virus. Thank you for continuing to check in with those folks, with those in our church family by phone or by other means. And as you visit with them, please remind them to hit up our website to listen to our recordings online. Well, folks, welcome again to the Lord's house, and let's welcome Andrew back as he leads our call to worship.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Who can tell all the great things he has done? Happy are those who obey his commands, who always do what is right. Let us sing our opening hymn, number 594, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
On a word of prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for the privilege of gathering here at Berry Christian Church in person with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that our time in worship be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, our guide, our comforter, and our counselor. And we pray that your blessings be upon our worship through our music, our thoughts, our prayers, and our teachings. It is through your Holy Spirit that we feel the living presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
As it was in
Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Certainly is a joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning. I noticed when I walked into the sanctuary, even before the lights were on, the sun was just shining through with a brilliant yellow color. It's kind of faded as the sun has now moved a bit, but it was a wonderful experience here in the sanctuary early this morning. So we're delighted you're here. Used to say out in West Texas that a good day was when you saw the sun shining, but there were puddles in the ruts of the road. In other words, that meant it rained, but it got some sunshine for the grasslands. So maybe that's how we are today. Lenore, our sympathy is to you and Ken with the loss of Ken's father this past Tuesday, and we're keeping you in prayer as Robert has passed on into the Lord's presence. So, Lenore, we keep you in prayer. And also, we want to be mindful of Betty Donahue. She's been having a number of additional health concerns and still striving to find a guidance with that at the KU Medical Center. And Art Kinder hopes to go home today. He said, talking to him on the phone, he says, I'm ready to get out of prison. Janet, his wife, hasn't been able to see him except for the one time where they both made the trip to the surgeon to be assured that everything was going okay with the recovery for his hip. That's the one and only time they've been able to see each other in 2 weeks. So bless their hearts. How would you like to have your date be a visit to the doctor? These are odd times we are in, for sure. So Art is certainly hoping to go home. We lift up Rihanna Ralston in our prayers in the midst of multiple health concerns and a surgery that she is recovering from this past week. Ted, we're continuing to lift you up in prayer every day, hoping for good recovery. And also being mindful of your nephew, Jeff Schultz, keeping him in prayer. We want to keep Susan Hank's daughter, Candace, in prayer as she's making steady and progressive recovery, but it's taking some time. We lift up Pam Roberts and the significant pain and tremors that she's experiencing and seeking medical assistance for that. Dave and Ardith Haynes' nephew, Kent Taylor, is in our prayers in the midst of his recovery as well. Atlanta's daughter, Amy Sander, is in our prayers. And Debbie, we're lifting up your father every day in the midst of his recovery. And we want to ask your prayers for members of Carrie's family, again, affected significantly by the fires up in the western states. In their case, there were 4 fires in east of Salem, Oregon, where the family farm is and where many of the family members live. And the one brother, Ernie, is the one who has the greatest level of concern, it seems, and not even able to get back into the town to even see what's really the end result. So we keep them all in prayer. May we lift up a word of prayer before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are grateful once again for the privilege to assemble in your house of worship, where we may find comfort and assurance in your presence. As so many tragedies and trials have prevailed throughout this year, O God, we know that your great comfort and peace are needed by so many. We seek your blessing, O God, for the 28.6 million people the world over burdened by the coronavirus, realizing that 6.5 million of these are fellow citizens. We pray for your great comfort for the families of the 917,000 who have died from the virus worldwide, of which 193,000 are also our fellow citizens. We pray for the millions still seeking employment, as we are also mindful of the 97 western fires that have consumed 4.7 million acres, taking with them the livelihoods and homes of several entire communities. Lord God, we're even mindful of hurricanes to the southeast and wondering what results may come from that. We pray for your abiding strength for the 29,000 firefighters who toil on the fire lines and put their lives on that line every day, in the quest to save lives, property, and natural habitat. In this year of 2020, we are humbled by the magnitude of suffering, bewilderment, exhaustion, and devastating loss experienced by so many on so many fronts. We wonder when the tide of such events will one day turn. Yet through it all, may we hope to find peace through you. For as Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 tells us, you keep every person in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And even as we reflect on the suffering our Lord Jesus bore for the remission of our sins, we know, as Paul tells us in Colossians 3, verse 15, that the peace of Christ can rule in our hearts. And as the Apostle Paul offers a prayer to the believers in Thessalonica, we know his prayer offers solace for people even in our day. For Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. This we pray as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no fear when I'm near to him. I'll lean on him forever, and he'll forsake me never. He will not fail me as long as my faith is strong. Whatever road I may walk along, I'll walk with God, I'll take his hand. I'll talk with God, he'll understand. I'll pray to him each day, to him, and he'll hear the words that I say. His hand will guide my throne and rod, and I'll never walk alone while I walk with God.
Thank you, Doug. While we continue to be somewhat restricted in our physical movements and cannot share the communion emblems of the bread and the cup, may we instead share in a community reflection, which you can find at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. Jesus tells us, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you." May the Lord Himself, who is our source of peace, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Our hymn of contemplation is number 578. I need thee every hour. We will sing stanzas 1 and 4.
Scripture reading I'd like to share with you comes from 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 through 18. Paul writes, "May the Lord Himself, who is our source of peace, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. With my own hand I write this. Greetings from Paul. This is the way I sign every letter. This is how I write. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, it is indeed our privilege to once again gather in your house and to experience your great love, your presence with us this day and always. Lord, as we explore your word once again, we are mindful of the great love you have for all of us, and the measure of peace you wish to have dwell within our hearts day to day. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. As we are looking at yet another 3:16 verse in the New Testament, here we are in the books written to the church in Thessalonica. Thessalonica was the capital city of the Roman province of Macedonia. Today, this area is on the northeastern shoreline of what we now call Greece. Paul visited this city in his second and third missionary journeys and established a church here in Thessalonica because it was such an important commercial city, one from which the gospel message could certainly be spread out to other people and other places. Now, Paul's letters here are actually quite short. You could easily read them this week while you mute the commercials of your favorite television show. They are that short. And the purpose of Paul's letters was to clarify points of thinking about the faith that had led to controversy among the believers. And chief among the controversies for the folks in the Thessalonican church was misunderstandings about the second coming of Christ. Isn't it the case even today? We have so many instances where people have long debates about when Christ is going to be coming. And certainly even in the midst of the difficulties of this year, 2020, once again, we have people rising up the notion, oh, this all means that Christ is going to be coming. I was talking with a bank teller the other day, and he was talking about that day was going to be here in the month of September. I can't quite remember what day it was. I'm not sure if we passed it yet or not. But I think he was determined it was going to be happening, you see. And so such things were happening even for Christians, even of that very first century of the faith. Because many people in this particular time period, even Paul himself, believed that the second coming of Christ would happen possibly even in their own time period. So see, they didn't think the world was going to be lasting much longer in their time period. In the first letter to the Thessalonican believers, Paul clarifies the second coming, saying that no one really knows when that event is going to take place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, he writes, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief comes at night," reinforcing what Christ had said to his disciples in the Gospel of John, that only the Father knows the day and the hour of Christ's coming. And as Christian believers, through their confession of faith, already belong to the light, Paul tells us, and are assured of their place in the kingdom, what they should be doing is not waiting for the second coming, but rather should be about their daily business, as he writes, to encourage one another and to help one another in their work for the Lord. Now, some among the Thessalonican believers who thought that the second coming of Christ was going to be coming soon had even decided that, well, if Christ is going to be coming around the corner, why should I work? Well, we think some people kind of have that same feeling, right? Why bother about, you know, making a future for myself if I can just sit around and do nothing? Besides that, the world's going to end. This had become such a problem that Paul, in his second letter to the church in Thessalonica, offers a stern rebuke of those who had chosen to live an easy and lazy existence, living off the welfare that their fellow Christian people who were still working was providing for them. Imagine how that would certainly have created a great deal of disdain and disgust among some of the believers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul writes, "We command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep away from all brothers who are living a lazy life and who do not follow the instructions that we give them." And Paul reminded the believers that he and his fellow evangelists worked at their own trades even while they were in Thessalonica trying to promote the establishment of the church. And of course, you recall that Paul was a tent maker. So he did his tent making and repair work wherever he was located. He must have had a bag full of tools he took around with him, you think. And Paul's most stern rebuke against the lazy among the Thessalonians is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. "While we were with you, we used to tell you, whoever refuses to work is not allowed to eat." So there, if you're lazy, you don't eat. And you can imagine again how you had some folks just kind of lounging around waiting for the second coming while others were providing for them. But then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writes, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command these people and warn them to lead orderly lives and work to earn their own living." And yet, also in an effort to strive after reconciliation among all the believers in the church, the lazy as well as the most industrious, Paul also writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 15, "But do not treat the lazy brothers, if you will, as an enemy. Instead, warn them as a brother." And as Paul continues to seek reconciliation and assurance for all the believers, he concludes his second letter to them as he offers words of solace that sound very much like a prayer. And this gets us to our 3:16 verse for this morning, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "May the Lord himself, who is our source of peace, give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all." Now, the word peace here doesn't mean an absence of conflict, nor does it mean, simply having happy times. As we look at the Greek language, it's more of the essence of the good welfare of a person in a spiritual sense. So think in those terms, a good welfare. And a good welfare, he is telling us, is only available through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And yet Paul is saying that in Christ, this good spiritual welfare is available at all times and in every way. Now imagine how Paul was striving to offer a measure of reconciliation and comfort for all of these believers, even in the midst of their controversy and these difficulties that were causing strife among them. And yet, these bold words were certainly coming from someone who had known what difficulties could be like in one's life. For we recall that Paul had been beaten. He had been stoned nearly to death. He had been thrown in prison. He had been shipwrecked, all while striving to share the gospel news, right? He had suffered through so many personal burdens. We believe that Paul lived in constant pain, as he also suffered bouts of lengthy disability due to what he called was the thorn in the flesh that he had prayed to God, hoping that God would free him from it, yet he never did get free of that burden. And what was that burden? It was likely malaria. And you know how malaria can just knock somebody down for days on end with excruciating debilitation and pain. This happened to Paul, every so many months or so. And he endured this. And yet, despite all that he dealt with personally, here is a person who could believe that in Christ, one could certainly experience a good spiritual welfare, right? Now, many people throughout our nation and across the world today are certainly facing challenges and unmerciful difficulties in this year 2020, right? The number of concerns through the virus, hurricanes, fires, job loss, the troubles just keep piling on and are affecting millions upon millions of people. Yet, as the Apostle Paul was striving to offer genuine peace to those Thessalonican believers, his words can offer the same good spiritual welfare to people of our day, right? Because we know, truthfully, good spiritual welfare does not come from the physical things. It doesn't come externally. It comes internally from the Spirit within us. And we recognize that through Christ, the greatest victory over sin and death has already been won through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the ultimate joy is not here in this earth. It is in the heavenly kingdom. It is to recognize that we're ultimately heaven bound, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, Paul writes, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And in John 16, verse 33, he says, the text tells us, "I have said these things to you," Jesus said, "that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, the real truth of the matter is, if you just live long enough, you're going to have trouble, aren't you? Isn't that right? If you just live long enough, you're going to have trouble. You know, we live in a society in which we believe that life can be a utopia, and that is thrown at us constantly. If you just get the right pill, if you just get the right ointment, whatever it is on TV they're trying to peddle to you, you know, that's going to make you well, and you're going to be so happy, you're going to be smiling like those folks on the television, right? That's an illusion. Just living means we face trials and tribulations. But yet, I think that today, Paul has given us a 3:16 verse well worth remembering, reciting, and learning as much as knowing John 3:16 or 1 John 3:16. For here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "May the Lord himself, who is our source of peace, give you peace at all times and in every way." That's worth celebrating, is it not? That's worth affirming. That's worth believing and offering, especially to those who are suffering the most. Right? Now you may ask, "Well, Dennis, what about 1 Thessalonians 3:16? There's no such verse. You know, not every chapter has a 16th verse, and not every New Testament book even has three chapters. So I hope this one has good meaning for you today as we step forward with the task of this new week. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at First Christian Church, Berry Christian Church, as we, you know, that's such a routine. It's easy for it to fly off. You know, I've served too many churches that were first. Pardon me, Berry Christian Church. It's an old routine. Our invitation hymn, number 577, "It Is Well With My Soul." The first, is that correct? Five, six, one. Yes, let's stand and sing that one. Thank you.
When peace like a river attends, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
And the Lord shall descend.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as you journey through the new week. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to once again be in your house. Guide us as we step forward with the task of this new week, knowing with certainty that a good spiritual welfare resides with each of us as we embrace Christ as Lord and Savior. It's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen.